The Vietnam War was a long time ago. Those of us in our early 50s are now the youngest generation with any firsthand knowledge of that time. Next year will mark the 50th anniversary of the high water mark of the conflict. 1968 was a definitive turning point. January brought the Tet Offensive. The My Lai massacre took place in March. The increasingly bad news coming out of Southeast Asia even shocked CBS newsman Walter Cronkite into saying the war was lost. By 1975, American troops were gone, and Saigon had fallen. My family was pretty typical of military families. No matter what else was happening in our lives, Vietnam was always there, lingering. But we weren't alone. The Vietnam War was a collective experience for military kids like me. Upon moving to a new base or neighborhood, we would always ask the other kids whether their dads, and it was mostly dads, had also served in Vietnam. If your dad had gone, you were part of that group. And like you, the other kids knew how it felt. The stress, the uncertainty, and the myriad other emotions that go hand in hand with that kind of separation. My father was a career Army officer. He served two tours, and by his own account, they were pretty unremarkable. He never fired a weapon, and I doubt he ever saw the enemy. He swam at China Beach and got exposed to Agent Orange on his first tour in Da Nang, and lived in Saigon, near a major U.S. military hospital during his second. Back then, without email, Skype, or even regular phone calls, we relied on letters and audio tapes. I recently acquired hours of audio tapes he made, and despite his casual, matter-of-fact demeanor, the sounds of war are not far away. Jet fighters taking off from the airbase at Da Nang, medevac helicopters flying over his building in Saigon. My personal memories from those days are both fragmentary and crystal clear. Like staying back from school one morning to talk to Dad on a call he had to book in advance. News coverage of the war on television and magazine covers. And lighting a candle in the kitchen window when the POWs came home. In between his Vietnam tours from 1967 to 1969, we lived on the Japanese island of Okinawa, the site of the last major battle of World War II. We would watch B-52 bombers take off from nearby Kadena Air Base, bound for targets in South Vietnam, the huge planes roaring into the hot Okinawan sun. A few years ago, my father passed away from cancer. He rarely talked about the war, but over the years, I managed to get a few anecdotes. He talked about making an unscheduled helicopter landing in a rice paddy and hoping the Viet Cong weren't around. Once, during a 4th of July fireworks show, he quietly mentioned how the red flares reminded him of the Saigon skyline at night. And he told about his jeep stalling in the jungle as the convoy sped on, leaving him and two other soldiers behind. I look forward to watching the Ken Burns documentary. I know that for many, watching the series will be tough. But there are lessons to be learned from our experience in Southeast Asia, and I hope everyone, especially young people, will tune in. I'd like to think we went into Vietnam with the best of intentions, fully believing that we, as a nation, could find a solution where others hadn't. But it was a complicated conflict, in a world we didn't understand. And in the end, the price of war in blood and treasure was just too high, even for America.